I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is 2 hours of sanity in an insane world. This is Central Mississippi's safe space here for independent thinkers out there. Lots of interesting news stories over the long Thanksgiving weekend. Took a couple of days off towards the end of last week, as many people did. And so I've had days and days of news to catch up on, some very interesting things. A lot of good football this weekend. But I ran across a headline today that maybe somebody can explain to me. I haven't done my research. I just saw it this morning. So I can look it up myself. I understand that. But if you know, please let me know. The Mississippi State Ole Miss game had certainly an interesting twist at the end of that game with the P-gate, I guess is what they'll be calling it. You know, we stand in judgment of these kids doing something dumb. If the extra point had been made, it would have been no big deal and Ole Miss fans would have loved it. Since they didn't make the extra point after the end zone celebration, then I'm sure this kid's going to be judged and blamed for this loss. And I've just gotten to an age where I just really do not judge many of the actions. If they're not just pure out evil, I don't judge too many of the actions of some of these young kids caught up in a moment, doing something goofy, doing something dumb. People put such importance on this stuff. I always go back to, you know, Lindsay Lohan was something that kind of woke me up to that when I saw people piling on her a while back. And I thought, man, this is some kid. Some kid with millions of dollars is doing some dumb stuff. Because I know inside myself, if you'd laid a few million dollars on my lap when I was 18, 19 years old, there's no telling what I would have done. But anyway, the end of the game was as it is, and as a Mississippi State fan, I was happy to see it happen, although now I have a child at Ole Miss. So I really couldn't lose this game. And I'm also somebody, you know, we get so caught up in these rivalries. I run into adults, and I may hurt somebody's feelings here because you may be one of these people. I run into adults who say, oh, I hate Ole Miss. I mean, they hate Ole Miss if they're Mississippi State fans, or vice versa. If they're Ole Miss fans, I just hate Mississippi State. Just hate him. And you've got all these kids that are out there just busting their butts through spring training and, you know, shoot, junior high school, getting to one of these SEC schools and then going to spring training and doing 2-a-days out in the heat and trying as hard as they can and going through all the workouts and putting in all the time. You got a bunch of adults that just want to see them fail. Now, I'm partial. I've been to University of Georgia and to Mississippi State. I like to see both of them win. Georgia had a very good weekend playing their rival, I guess, of Georgia Tech anyway. But I don't hate any of these other teams. What I really hated was what I saw today in the headlines that apparently they have let go Matt Luke, the Ole Miss head coach. And the story that called this to my attention, because I wasn't even looking at local news here, this was a national news story, and it just said, college head coach is fired. The amount he's owed is staggering. And I didn't even realize it was going to be an Ole Miss story. I clicked on the headline just to see because I think there's so much absurdity in the amount of money that's spent on some of these coaches and some of these football programs, as much as I'm entertained by them. Some of the numbers are just staggering. When you look at the fact that we've got all these kids, we've seen the college tuition inflation over the years, people borrowing money, kids being in debt for 20, 30, 40 years of student loans, and then you see these coaches making tens of millions of dollars. The story that I saw today is that When it comes to Ole Miss letting go of Matt Luke, the school said there wasn't, quote, enough momentum on the field, unquote, to justify keeping Luke as the head coach. It's reported that the buyout for Luke could be somewhere in the ballpark of $17 million. $17 million buyout for the head coach of Ole Miss. Now, I would find that to be absurd. I want to know where this money comes from. There's not going to probably be a really good answer to that, but with as the parent of a child that is currently attending Ole Miss now, it does seem a little insane to me. So maybe someone can tell me where this money is coming from if these numbers are actually accurate. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me? Hey, caller, are you there?
You're a mess.
Hello. Caller. All right. Well, I think they had an answer for me, but I couldn't get him to come on. But with a student at Ole Miss, I don't if this comes from boosters. Does this come from sales? I don't know where this money comes from. There's not a good source to give a fired head coach who didn't do well. Now, I don't have anything personal against any of these coaches. It's a tough job. Got to be really tough to put together a competitive program in the SEC when you're going up against some of the powerhouses. I understand all these things. Nothing to kind of like politics. These people may be wonderful, wonderful people. I may really enjoy having a cup of coffee with them, but the salaries are insane. $17 million for a coach that didn't get it done with a student at Ole Miss. I say there's something very, very wrong with that. And I also looked at some of these, watched some of this football, and I find it kind of interesting, too, particularly speaking to a conservative audience largely, that you look at the idea that these students can profit off of their skills on the field. And I don't really know why we're trying to stop that. I saw some pretty nasty injuries over the past couple of weeks of this, of both in, and some of it was in professional and some of it was in college, too. But some of these kids are so incredibly athletically gifted. Just some stunning stuff to see them do on the field. And realizing behind that all the work that goes into it. Now, if somebody is an art major at a university anywhere in the country, and on the side, somehow they profit from all the skill. They go to the school. Maybe they've gotten an art scholarship, and they go to the school. They get their tuition paid, but they also do art on the side, and they sell their art. Nobody would have a problem with that, with profiting from the skills that are being given to them by the schools too. But particularly when you see some of the injuries and see some of the skill and realize the work that goes into some of these athletes, I don't think it's too much to say that maybe they should be able to pocket a few dimes off of their achievements while they're in school. It just seems kind of capitalist to me. Now, I'm sure there are problems that people who follow sports more than me could point out. I understand that, being with one particular program or another, but you know, in a free market system, this stuff should work itself out. I don't know why we begrudge these kids for making some money. I mean, they're doing it by effort. They didn't luck into this stuff. Yes, they're getting a free college education, but they're obviously generating some money. And when I see a coach that's going to get $17 million for being let go because he couldn't get it done, I say maybe there's a little bit of money out there that should go, that should be spread out a little bit. I know some people disagree with me about that. I did see a couple other headlines too that apparently Black Friday. I am not a Black Friday. I don't think I've ever shopped on Black Friday. I mean, there may be a time I've gone out in the afternoon to get something. I've never been a morning Black Friday person, but they're showing that statistics from this year, and this has been a trend that's been going on, was that Black Friday retail, as far as brick and mortar, was way down this year. Again, a troubling trend for the brick and mortar stores. But I think it's a troubling trend for another reason, because from what I've seen in some of the Black Friday videos over the last 10 years, running through the stores and fighting for cheap Chinese-made products was some of the only exercise that some of these people ever got. If you've seen any of the videos, these are not people that generally look like they're keeping in good shape, and there was at least one day a year where they really exerted themselves. And now apparently everybody's staying at home and just doing their shopping online. So I saw a couple of videos of Black Friday fights, but I actually think they were old. They didn't look like they were new. I'm sure there were some altercations. But, you know, I mean, at this point in our country. Anything that gets people out exerting themselves physically is probably a good thing at this point. Now we're going to take them home and let them sit in front of a computer. I also saw a statistic, too. I'm going to talk maybe later on today, or I've got a story. I've got so much to get to today, I don't know how much I'll get to, about the vaping wars. And, you know, I've talked about this a lot because I find it pretty fascinating. I find it very fascinating that there's so much hysteria over 40 vaping deaths, as tragic as they are, for the people that are involved in these. And I'm not saying that people should go out and vape, but it's just bizarro world to me that 40 deaths over, what, 6 or 7 years of vaping is a national tragedy. The tobacco companies and cigarettes claim 500,000 lives every single year, 300,000, 500,000, whatever the statistic is. It's hundreds of thousands every single year for decade upon decade upon decade, and nobody's talking about banning cigarettes. 40 deaths with vapes, and you know, we need to close down the entire industry. But I saw a statistic that said that 680 deaths per year are caused by anybody. Now, if this number is to be believed, I think we've got something else that needs to be banned. 680 deaths per year are blamed on people with Christmas trees on the top of their cars that come off in traffic and cause accidents. Now, the logic would say that if 40 deaths over 6 or 7 years of the vaping industry is enough to ban that particular product, I don't know that we're capable of handling Christmas trees. Certainly not one strapped to the tops of cars. So it's just trying to stay consistent. Our government loves us and always wants to keep us safe. I say it's time to ban Christmas trees.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Did you make it through the Thanksgiving holidays with all your friends and family intact? You know, this is the kind of a newer phenomenon, I guess. It's always been said in the workplace and friend groups and family gatherings, you know, stay away from politics and religion and a lot of things, but religion more in the workplace. This has been kind of a long-standing rule, you know, if you don't want to get into arguments, but it has gone to an entirely new level now. Did you lose any friends or family members over the course of the holidays? And I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, this is as somebody who's an observer of what's going on right now, not entrenched in this. I'm not a partisan. I'm not for either one of the parties. I'm for small, limited government. I'm a libertarian-minded guy, so I see the absurdity of both of these parties. To think that, you know, Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton are worth somehow an allegiance that would cause you to, or just absolute hatred of Donald Trump would cause you to lose a longstanding relationship that you have. And the same thing with the love of Donald Trump. I know that's a big gasp to everybody, but to think that you would somehow carry water for Trump and end up losing a family member is absurd to me. As somebody who just comments on this stuff and observes it from the outside because I treat politicians like employees, not deities. There were stories that I saw. I mean, you know, this is coming, Thanksgiving particular, because this is kind of a sit-down holiday, a lot of talking. Not as much, you know, Christmas, there's a lot of things going on with it. It'll happen again at Christmas, too. But Thanksgiving, I don't know, it's just one of the times everybody gets together. I can't imagine next Christmas after Election Day, next Thanksgiving after Election Day. There are stories everywhere about this. This was something that was on the Washington Times. Trump supporters brace for Thanksgiving dinner. Quote, the hatred now is just unbelievable. And this is a story about you can just imagine how besieged this conservative in New York feels. I believe they're actually in Manhattan. Talks about the story where she just gets baited into these conversations and she just can't can't stop it. Quote, some have said they've lost friends and don't like family members over this president, said John Osterlund, a libertarian radio show host in New Orleans. Quote, I say, if that's the case, those weren't really friends and you already had a problem with those family members. And there may be something to that. But, I've seen people who had good, strong relationships, didn't have any problems with each other until politics, until what we are experiencing right now in the political landscape has caused them to turn on each other. I've seen this with people that I know. They didn't have any problems with each other, and suddenly now they don't talk to each other. There was actually something, a Daily Caller, which is a conservative website. This was a headline on the Daily Caller. This is a sickness, I'm going to tell you. And you may disagree with me, but again, I'm an observer of this stuff. You know how it is. You can see a couple or two friends arguing if you're just sitting there and you see them arguing, and you may see absurdity on both sides. You just, as an observer, if you don't have an emotional investment in it, it's pretty easy to see the craziness of an argument between any two people on a subject that you're not emotionally invested in. It's much easier to see with some level of clarity from the outside, not being on the inside of this. Here is the headline from Daily Caller. 9 guaranteed ways to trigger your liberal family members at Thanksgiving dinner. 9 guaranteed ways to trigger your liberal family members at Thanksgiving dinner. Now, I couldn't see their recommendations for stoking hate during the holidays because it was in their Patriots Only section. Now, I got to tell you, as somebody who looks at this from the outside, who somebody just really has a pretty much, I have a contempt for the entire political system. Most people have contempt for one half of it because they're in the other half and it's us against them. I see it as it really should be most all of us. It's the 99.99% against the elites in this country. That's where our energy should be focused, but I'm fairly alone in that. This was in their, in the Daily Caller, it's their Patriots Only section. So I guess I'm not patriotic enough to destroy a family get-together. 9 guaranteed ways to trigger your liberal family members at Thanksgiving dinner. The Patriots Only section of Daily Caller, and again, this is that, I don't know. I don't know if you have to pay for this thing, if you have to sign up to get emails from them. I don't know because I'm not interested in it. I don't want to be a part of the Patriots-only part of Daily Caller because they don't offer me anything except propaganda from one side of the political spectrum. I get some of their they've got some decent stories on some of their stuff. As a conservative site, I can agree with a lot of the things they do, but I part company with a website that gives out 9 guaranteed ways to trigger your liberal family members and encourage this level of political hate. So the American tradition has become to argue with your friends and family on Thanksgiving Thursday and then take Fight Club to the stores on Black Friday to punch a stranger for a flat-screen TV deal that you have to finance because you can't afford it. This is now the American holiday season. I'll be sitting out both of those. So if you lost, if you have any interesting story, I put the call. I don't know if I want to hear that. I think it's sad. The thing is about this level of politicization of all this stuff, and I really do wish I had a radio show on the left side of the dial too, because I would really take issue with the idea of if you don't like Donald Trump, just let him be a president you don't like for 4 years and vote him out of office. That just kind of seems to be the way it's worked out over the years. God knows a lot of conservatives sat around and waited Barack Obama out, waited Bill Clinton out, waited Jimmy Carter out. Just wait it out. I can understand why people don't like Trump. I'm different than a lot of conservative talk show hosts because I don't think his style is effective, and I think it's abrasive to people, and it's not attracting people. Trump doesn't give people room to come to him. Because maybe it's this idea that he's been put into a box and he's just fighting his way out. Either way, I just find it completely unhealthy. But I'm not going to participate in this hatred of somebody else. If anybody on the right or the left thinks that a politician loves you so much that you must carry water for him at a Thanksgiving dinner and sacrifice your personal relationships for that, I got to tell you, you might rethink that. You might rethink exactly how important it is to you, because I'm telling you, we are in for some tough times down the road. I've been doing stories. I'm not going to get into a ton of it today, but we've got a tremendous amount of debt. The economy, while everybody says it's fantastic, has got real structural problems. Not Donald Trump's fault. He came in about 30, 40 years too late, unfortunately. We got some big problems. You are going to want to have friends and family that you can rely on at some point. I don't know if that is going to be in 2020, 2025, but within the next 10 years, you're going to see a financial crisis in this thing. You're not going to have wanted to alienate a whole lot of people when it doesn't get you anything on the other side. Yelling at a family member does not convince them to turn their back on Trump. Yelling at a family member does not get them to support Donald Trump. Yelling at a family member does not convince them that climate change is real. Well, climate change is real, but what it means to people, and if human beings are causing it, is the question that most conservatives had. Climate always changes. We're aware of that. But the arguments don't ever matter. And these people, these politicians, they don't care enough. There was an interesting story about someone had seen this big campaign poster. It's this really, really nice done. Get out and vote, reelect, blah, blah, blah. It was this, they just noticed this was just kind of an illustration of what they thought the political process was. When they were asking for the vote, and I don't even remember if this was a Republican or a Democrat, but the banner was nice and professionally done, and a lot of work was put into it to implore their supporters to get out and vote and all this stuff. And then after the election, there was a handmade sign on the window that just said, "Thank you for your support and putting us back in office." It looked like it was written with crayons on this one tiny little sheet of paper that was stuck to the window of the same campaign headquarters. It was stuck to the window with scotch tape. And it was with the person who was writing the story said, "That's American politics in a nutshell. When they want your vote, they're all about pulling out all the bells and whistles, spending the money, making everything look slick. Once they've got it, somebody draw a little sign and put it in the window, thank them for their vote." And there's no thought about it again, but they will come back with the flashy appeals and spending all the money to get your vote 4 years later. That is the scam of the system. Donald Trump gave two speeches over the course of the holidays. One of them I thought was really fantastic, and one of them I had a bit of a problem with. As is my way, I judge each thing individually, like it or not. I thought it was, but we'll start with the one that I thought he really knocked it out of the park. Very, very funny speech that Donald Trump gave. One of his better ones, as far as I'm concerned. I'll come back with those in just a second. Stay with me. This is the Mike Madison Show.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. Trump gave a couple speeches over the past few days. during the Thanksgiving holidays. And I'll play the one that I just loved up front. Now this, I don't know who the writer of this particular speech was, but this is the guy or gal, I don't want to be sexist, this is the guy or gal that should get the majority of the gigs. This was Donald Trump in pardoning the turkeys.
As we gather this week with loved ones across our beautiful land, we give thanks to God for the many gifts that he has bestowed upon us. Today we also come together to honor the beautiful feathered friend, the noble turkey. And that's a beauty. It's said that Abraham Lincoln was the first president to spare a Thanksgiving turkey at the request of his son. In 1947, President Harry Truman accepted the first annual national Thanksgiving turkey. In the decades that followed, presidents from Kennedy to Reagan would show mercy to their birds. But it was George H.W. Bush who first issued an official pardon. In keeping with that tradition, today I will issue a pardon to a pair of very handsome birds, Butter and his alternate Bread. That's true. Look at you. Their names were chosen by the students of Harold's Christian Academy in North Carolina, great state. Thankfully, Bread and Butter have been specially raised by the Jacksons to remain calm under any condition, which will be very important because they've already received subpoenas to appear in Adam Schiff's basement on Thursday. It's true. Hundreds of people have. It seems the Democrats are accusing me of being too soft on turkey. But Bread and Butter, I should note that unlike previous witnesses, you and I have actually met. It's very unusual. In any event, I expect this pardon will be a very popular one with the media. After all, turkeys are closely related to vultures. I don't know if I like that line, but there is a little truth to it.
He kind of steps on it at the end. He shouldn't have called out, you know, he called out the fact, I'm not sure if he liked his writer's lines, but whoever the writer was of that particular speech, that should be Trump's go-to right there. Just good quality. That's some good humor there. Fantastic, good, well in context. That's the kind of stuff to me. That's the kind of stuff that regular people out there, the independents that Donald Trump wants to bring to a side, can listen to and get a chuckle over it. And it makes him seem affable and somewhat self-deprecating. That's just great. It's incredible style points across the spectrum on that one. One of my favorite Trump speeches of all times, as a matter of fact. And then there was another speech. Now, Donald Trump went to Afghanistan for Thanksgiving this year. There was some humor around that, in that Newsweek apparently reported that he was going to spend his time golfing and tweeting, which I got to tell you, even if that was the case, so what? You know, does any president get a day off? I mean, but you know what Newsweek was trying to do. Apparently the guy who did this story, I guess trying to call out, what was Trump supposed to do during Thanksgiving? He can't go golfing during Thanksgiving Day. But apparently the guy who broke the story, after it was shown that Donald Trump had actually gone to see the troops in Afghanistan, the guy from Newsweek was fired, which was, I don't know, that's kind of refreshing. You know, if you take a pot shot at somebody for no real reason, even if what the guy said was true, what difference does it make what Donald Trump or any other president does on Thanksgiving Day? So apparently he was fired. So Trump goes to Afghanistan. And this is where I thought his speech was not so great. Now, again, I am always ready to wade into these types of things and through a different lens than most people see this. Most people see this as a patriotic move. He's going to Afghanistan. He's going to see the troops. I always, as usual, have a different take on these kinds of things. This was Donald Trump's speech in Afghanistan.
Sorry to cut you off, Kevin Cork. Here's the president.
The Taliban wants to make a deal.
We'll see if they want to make a deal. It's got to be a real deal, but we'll see. But they want to make a deal. And they only want to make a deal because you're doing a great job. That's the only reason they want to make a deal.
And he's talking to the troops here. Now, the problem with that is that the Taliban actually were, you know, they were one day away from coming to Camp David several months ago. But there was an attack, and one of our soldiers was killed in the attack, and so Trump scuttled the entire peace process at that particular point. Since then, At least another six or seven of our troops have died in Afghanistan. As this thing roils on, as I say, we had a birthday not too long ago. The Afghanistan war is now 18 years old. It can vote. And I wish it would vote itself out of existence. We have actually got a war that has come to the age of majority. It's 18 years. So Donald Trump says now they want to come up with a deal. The problem is we should have been out of there years ago. Trump's 3 years into his term. I'm disappointed he is not 2 years. We should have been out 2 years ago.
So I want to thank you, and I want to thank the Afghan soldiers for really, I've spoken to a lot of you today, and you say they're really fighting hard. I was very impressed with that, actually, so I want to thank you. And General Milley, again, to be at Bagram Airfield. I've heard so much about it. It's an incredible place. This is some airfield, some fortress. I want to thank all of the Afghan and Stanian troops. We have a lot of them here, actually. We have a number of them standing around, saying hello and waving, and we appreciate it. And I also say to you, just at ease, let's just enjoy ourselves for a couple of minutes. I'm going to introduce a few people. But there's nowhere I'd rather celebrate this Thanksgiving than right here with the toughest, strongest, best and bravest warriors on the face of the earth. You are indeed that. You know, when I took office, if you can believe it, almost 3 years ago, we were very depleted. Our military was depleted in terms of equipment. You see, right? They're all shaking their heads. That's right. We have all those brand new planes and brand new helicopters and brand new ships being built now, brand new incredible submarines, probably the most powerful submarines, probably the most powerful weapon in the world is what we're building. The form of submarines, nothing's even close. But we have things that nobody's seen, nobody's heard about, and we'll keep it that way. But we've spent $2.5 trillion, very close to that number, and very shortly it'll be at $2.5 trillion. And while I don't love that, you know, what that does to my budget, because I'm a budget person, we don't have a strong military budget, don't matter much, do they? Huh? I'm going to have to worry about budgets. So with what's going on in the world today, very important. $2.5 trillion. And nobody beats our great Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, Marines. And we think soon we're going to be adding a thing called
Space Force. $2.5 trillion. Now we're adding Space Force. Trump says he doesn't like that because he's a budget guy. I got to tell you, there's not a whole lot of evidence that Donald Trump is a budget guy. From what we've seen over the last couple of years. Now, look, this is not anti-troop. This is not anti-American. But it is a speech about spending $2.5 trillion. And what we're doing in Afghanistan says if we don't have a strong military, well, let's back up just a little bit. He says, well, we were depleted. Part of the reason that the military was depleted in the first place, if that is even really a thing, we were spending $600 billion a year and somehow we became depleted, and yet nobody's gotten fired for this. How do you mismanage a $600 billion budget and actually find your military unprepared with $600 billion a year? Again, Russia spends $60. And we feel that they're a pretty formidable foe. Shouldn't be a foe, should be a friend, but I digress. But this the reason that the military is depleted is because we're in places like Afghanistan and Syria and Iraq and Yemen and Somalia and Libya. That's why they were depleted in the first place. So to go to America's longest ever running war, 18 years and counting, and talk about a depleted military while you're standing in the spot that actually depleted the military in the first place. You can ask the Russians. They went through a similar thing in the late 1970s, early 1980s. And it ended up destroying their country on these budgets. Now, my biggest problem with this was Donald Trump says there's nowhere else he'd rather be for Thanksgiving than in Afghanistan with the troops. I would just imagine that for the vast number of these troops, there is nowhere that these troops would rather be on Thanksgiving Day than home. Home with their families. Home with their husbands and their wives and their children, home with their parents and their cousins, home working a job, not putting their life on the line every single day. Now, there's people who have called this just some kind of a photo op. I don't go that far. But I don't give any president, and again, this is the difference between me and so many people in this day and time where everything has to be so hyper-partisan and everything, and I don't play the partisan game. Any president that goes to Afghanistan, I would say, how about instead of the president making a magnanimous gesture of going to Afghanistan for Thanksgiving, why don't we do the opposite and bring all of the men and women in Afghanistan home and celebrate with them here in the United States where they can serve and protect the United States, not the borders of Afghanistan.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I always find it fascinating, as the older I get. I mean, this year is almost over. We are literally in the last month of a very hectic, very quick year, as far as I'm concerned. But I'm fascinated by a lot of things I've seen gone on this year. Now, one of the narratives is we have the greatest economy that the world has ever seen, and I disagree with that wholeheartedly. We've had GDP significantly higher. We've had debt significantly lower. We've had people with better jobs. We've had an unemployment rate that is calculated a different way. I could go through the list of things. But the economy has held together. I don't know if it is slowing or not, but the stock market in particular has been a bellwether of what everybody now believes is the economy. I would suggest that the stock market is not the economy, but it has been hitting record highs. It's off today. It looks like last time I looked, about 200 points today. There's more talk about tariffs going on. Donald Trump sent a tweet out, I think this morning, saying he may put tariffs on Brazil and Argentina. I think there was some talk this weekend about some European tariffs, or maybe that was last week. But the tariff war rages on. The market has continued to go up during the course of this year while this trade war has gone on. And it has largely gone up on trade war, or on trade deal headlines. And somebody put out a piece that I just thought was fascinating. I'm going to read you the last 11 months of headlines, just one per month, and then understand that each one of these headlines, I'll tell you what the source is, and understand that these things run across media. You know, one story appears one place. It's, you know, if it's on Yahoo, it's also on Wall Street Journal. It's on all the other ones, too. These are headlines for the last 11 months. January, U.S. close to trade deal with China, possible impact on stock market. February, Trump, we're getting very close to a deal with China. That was CNBC. That was February of this year. March, Bloomberg, U.S.-China trade deal. D.C. and Beijing are close to a pact. That was March of this year. April, U.S. and China edge closer to epic trade deal, says Trump. That was on BBC News in April. May, South China Morning Post, deal to end. U.S.-China trade war is close, Donald Trump says. In June, Trump on trade deal with China, quote, we're getting a little bit closer. This was from The Hill in June. Now, each time these things are done, the stock market perks up. It trends up just on these headlines alone. And again, those are January, February, March, April, May, and June. In July, The Guardian, global markets rally as hopes of U.S.-China trade deal rise. In August, Rolling Stone, Trump, for at least the 14th time, says we're close to a trade deal with China. September, Reuters, Trump says trade deal with China could happen sooner than people think. October, The Epoch Times, U.S. China say they're close to finalizing part of phase one trade deal. In November, Trump, U.S. China, very close to trade deal. And the market has trended higher on every single one of these announcements, every single one of these stories. When the trade deal actually happens, you've heard the thing, buy the rumor, sell the fact. Which that means is when you hear something may happen, you buy out ahead of it. And then when it happens, you actually sell because it's already priced in. We've priced in the end of this trade deal for the better part of a year. They never stop pricing it in. And if in watching the now, I try to bring some value added to my listeners here. I've given you tons of good money-making ideas on this show to capitalize on some of these things, most of them sarcastic, tongue-in-cheek ideas. But I got to say, I wish I had seen this idea of insider trading every time a tweet goes out, just buy the market. I just didn't have any idea that every tweet and every announcement and every headline about a China trade deal would send the markets higher every time. I thought the market would eventually catch on to that. Now I'm going to play a clip I played before, though, because I think this is something that bears repeating, too. So while the stock market has gone up, I don't know how you've done. Some people have 401ks. Not a whole lot of people are in the market, not as many as there were, you know, 20 years ago. Which is, a good thing or a bad thing. But you missed out on a lot of gains, but maybe you're happy with stock market performance, but not as happy as some people.
What's the allegation here?
No allegations.
No allegation.
Observations.
Okay.
Traders who I talked to who've been doing this for longer than almost I've been alive have been noticing this very strange phenomenon that every time Trump talks, especially when he talks about trade, the market reacts either up or down, depending on what he says. And people are putting in these trades, you know, few minutes before the close of trading. And it's obviously not just one person. It's probably a group of traders or some sort of coordinated effort because the number of E-mini contracts bought is too large for one individual at any one time. But clearly, traders in the pits at the CME have been noticing this and have been wondering what's going on. So I'm just being reportorial. Right. I'm hearing this, mm-hmm. and I'm laying it out there for people to consider.
But embedded in this, in stringing these facts together,
sure.
is the notion that perhaps these traders or group of traders could have been tipped off if they're placing large trades minutes before the market closes on information that has not been disseminated publicly yet.
Insider trading. It's
so
no different.
Okay.
Right. It's no different to me. I was an M&A guy for 17 years. You know, if I work on a merger and next thing you know, you see that the stock price is going up before there's an announcement, which basically happens all the time. And then the SEC investigates that when Amazon buys Whole Foods and next thing you see Whole Foods stock is shooting up. Merger gets announced. SEC investigates that. I'm saying there are regulators here, the SEC, the CME, the Mercantile Exchange, and the CFTC, the futures regulator. They should be investigating these trades. Maybe there's nothing there, but it sure looks coincidental, fortunate, and a little sketchy to the people who are trading these future contracts every day.
So there you go. Some information is getting out before all of these tweets and all of these trade headlines. The day before, people are getting a heads up as to what's going to be announced the next day when it comes to the trade war. They're placing their bets the day before anybody else knows about this stuff. Trump sends out a tweet, market goes up, they cash out.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show. I am your host, Mike Madison. The phone number here is 601-879-0002. He wants to call in. I am curious. I haven't had a chance to look it up yet. I'll do it later today. But if you know where this buyout from Matt Luke at Ole Miss is coming from, the $17 million it's reported that they may be paying him after they fire him from Ole Miss, as the father of an Ole Miss student, I'd be interested to know where this $17 million comes from. And just be prepared. If it's not coming straight from the university, which would directly impact, you know, services or the tuition of my son or the cost of meal. You know what I mean? If it comes out of the university, that's bad enough. I don't think there's a good place to come up with $17 million for a fired head coach of Ole Miss that's going to really pacify me. I don't know there's going to be any good answer to that that will make me feel any better as the father of a student at that university. There's all kinds of stuff going on in the news. Impeachment stuff kicks off this week. I don't want to talk about it. I really don't. Trump's not sending his attorneys there. He's not participating in it. I think I get that. I think that may be one of his best strategies is to just, because this isn't going anywhere. It doesn't matter if they impeach him in the House. If they even have the vote, who cares? So what? Has nothing to do with much of anything. I don't know. Is that going to affect some independence? Oh, he was impeached. I know some people are stupid. Maybe I underestimate the power of an impeachment. There's a lot of people out there who don't pay attention to any of this stuff. If they just hear that Donald Trump's been impeached, maybe that makes a difference to him. When he's exonerated by the Senate, does that bring him back? I don't know. I don't know. But the whole process is really just disgusting and boring to me. I think it's probably wise to not just participate in these things. Just let them go on, make it look like it is, and then use that speechwriter from the turkey speech to give any other speeches that Trump's got to do. Go out there and give us some good quality comedy about being attacked. Not the off-the-cuff, same old, same old. Use that speechwriter from the turkey speech and get people on your side that way. I have found some interesting headlines along the lines of the election, though. Elizabeth Warren. I mean, this is... The left is struggling to lash on to somebody. They really are trying their hardest to pump somebody up and make them palatable to any segment of the population. This is literally just throwing spit wads against a wall, seeing what could possibly stick. If you notice this game of whack-a-mole on the Democrats, you know, Sanders is the big guy going in, and then everybody's talking about Beto, and they just keep trying to get somebody to the front of this thing. And Elizabeth Warren has been the latest entrant into front runner status on the Democrat side. Elizabeth Warren will never win the presidency. She is a nut job. They're all absolutely horrible, but she is one of the more horrible of the horrible. Latest national poll of the Democratic primary conducted by Quinnipiac shows support for Elizabeth Warren plummeting since October from 28% to 14%, while support for Biden and Buttigieg is ticking upward, and it says that Biden is up 3 points. I guess these Warren people, when she got up to the top of the pack and people saw what they were dealing with Elizabeth Warren, I guess they went, oh, gosh, not her. And I guess they went back to Joe Biden. Did you see the pictures of Joe Biden nibbling on his wife's fingers during a speech she was giving? This guy, I don't have it. I guess I could find it. The clip of Joe Biden telling a group of people about how kids used to love to rub the hair on his legs. This guy is, he is entertaining. I will say, and I think I said from the very beginning of this thing, a Trump versus Biden might be the most entertaining of all of the races, but I don't think Joe Biden, as entertaining as he is, the entertaining is so pathetic and creepy that it's not going to get him to the nomination. So we still expect him to fade. I had my inside source that said Bloomberg was the guy. He has come in with a bit of a whimper, but he hasn't really participated in any debates, just spending his money on television. There were a lot. It was very funny to me. I saw over the course of the holidays commercials for both Tom Steyer and Michael Bloomberg. I guess those were really the only two people that were running presidential campaign ads on the Democratic side. And it's just kind of funny to see two white billionaires taking to the airwaves to try to win Democrat votes. I got to tell you guys, you created a monster. I don't think they're going to let you do it. You know, last thing that Democratic Party wants right now is a white male billionaire, but that may be what they end up with. There was a story last week about the Democratic ticket that Trump actually fears, and I think there is something to this. There's talk about a Pete Buttigieg, how do you say his name? I don't care. Mayor Pete and Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii. It was interesting in the story I was just reading. This is from National Review, and they go through and they show where everybody has gone over the past couple of weeks. Well, actually, I guess from the last month on the Democratic side, Biden up 3, Buttigieg up 6, Warren down 14 points, Sanders down 2 points, Bloomberg at 3, Harris, Klobuchar, Yang, Booker. They name all those. They do not show Tulsi Gabbard anywhere on there.
Tulsi Gabbard is, she's trended more than the 2% that Yang has had, or the 2% Cory Booker's had, or the 3% Klobuchar has. But this is National Review that certainly is a bit of a neocon conservative, but a neocon magazine. And the last thing they want to do is highlight an anti-war candidate like Tulsi Gabbard. The idea of a Pete Buttigieg and Tulsi Gabbard ticket, I think, would be concerning to Donald Trump. Now, I'm not a fan of Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, because I think I'm pronouncing his name wrong. I guess I'll just start saying Mayor Pete. I do like Tulsi Gabbard on foreign policy. Don't like her much at all on most of her domestic issues. But as far as a more calm, more reasoned, more sane-looking package, Mayor Pete and Tulsi Gabbard as a team against Donald Trump may cause Donald Trump some problems. They're much more moderate than most of the left-wing real nut jobs. I know a lot of conservatives have a problem with Tulsi Gabbard and her gun grabbing, and I agree. She's for an assault weapons ban, whatever that would be, which is obviously very concerning. But as far as kind of the package, the presentability of Mayor Pete and a Tulsi Gabbard, I think that is something that this current White House would not want to have to deal with. So we'll see. Let me see if I've got time to get into these. I guess when it comes to, well, I'll do this after the break. I'll do my segment I've been doing for a while, which is Witch Watch. And that is, are we to expect a Hillary Clinton to run, to jump into the running for this race? There are people that are still hanging on to this. I've kind of felt like the window was closing, but maybe I'm wrong. So we'll do a segment that I like to call Witch Watch, which is watching to see if the witch Hillary Clinton enters the Democratic race. A very interesting clip from Fox News. Now, I warned you about John Bolton. I've warned you about a bunch of things that I think are coming true. People are seeing these things. I told you the Syrian gas attacks were false flags the day they came out, and it has been proven to be so now. I've also been warning you about Fox News. Fox News is a Judas goat. Fox News wants to keep you in the establishment, keep you into the system, the status quo. As much as they, some of the Fox News hosts are supporting Donald Trump right now, ultimately Fox News is just another media propaganda outlet. I've been saying it since the day I sat in this chair. As a former Fox News fan, Fox News is not your friend. There are very, very strange comments from Fox News about Hillary Clinton. We'll get to that when we come back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
There is really so much interesting to me psychologically about the election that's coming up. Very interesting to watch what's going on as, again, as I continually say, as an observer, not somebody really. As a matter of fact, I'm going to see. I'm not sure if Ron Morris is coming in tomorrow or not, but I'm going to check and see. He makes a lot of appearances on Tuesdays. We'll see if he's going to. The Libertarian Party's got a very strong guy that has thrown his hat in the ring for the Libertarian nomination, a guy named Jacob Hornberger. And I got to tell you, I know there's a lot of Trump supporters out there, and you believe this is an existential battle between Trump and Democrats and all that, and I understand. But a strong Libertarian candidate at this time that could actually get a message out, that's the problem. No one's going to vote for a third party because you're just going to end up handing the... Yeah, I know the whole trap we're in. You can't vote for somebody good. You got to vote for one of the two parties, because if you don't, the other party wins. And anyway, a guy named Jacob Hornberger, you can look him up. guy is really, really, really sharp. You want to talk about if you're a constitutionalist, if you're a small, limited government guy, somebody like Jacob Hornberger is so leap and bounds ahead of anybody that you've had a chance to vote for in your adult life. I mean, it's not even close. Ron Paul, you had a chance for him. The Republican Party did to Ron Paul what the Democratic Party is doing to Tulsi Gabbard right now, which is ignoring and marginalizing and criticizing and alienating and not for the same, well, a little bit for the same reasons. They're both anti-war people. Ron Paul, very conservative, and Tulsi Gabbard, very progressive, but same kind of media machine. But, you know, one thing that somebody pointed out, and I even forget this myself, when you're looking at the politics of what's going on right now, and you see all these nut jobs on the left, and what a lot of us think is, now, I'm of the belief that Donald Trump is the only person that can beat Donald Trump in 2020. Unfortunately, I don't know which way that goes. I think he may beat himself. I've been saying for a while he needs to change his style. Obviously, I'm pretty alone in that. His base loves it. Problem is, I don't think it's attracting a lot of new people. If the economy holds up, if people are satisfied with the economy going through 2020, I don't know Donald Trump can be beat by anybody that the left has got out there right now. If the economy does not do well, I think the weakness of Donald Trump is going to be his inability to attract other new people to his side. Now, some people say, it's so funny to me, again, this is the observer's guide to watching politics and the psychology that goes into it. A lot of people have been talking about the fact that they're, well, at least I've seen these numbers, I don't know what the polls are to quote them, I don't have a story in front of me, that black support is like 34% for Donald Trump right now. That Donald Trump is getting historic numbers within the black community. Now, I've seen other media that says it's 7%. I don't know which is right. But I've heard people on the right, Trump supporters, say, well, look, I mean, 34% of the black community is now behind Donald Trump. This is a huge thing that the Democrats have got to worry about. And I totally agree. And wouldn't it be great to see the black community kind of shake off this mass mind control of having to always vote Democrat? It is frustrating if you're, if you see the flaw in Democrat policies and you see all the Democrat-run cities falling through the floor, just imploding, when you see the failure of Democrat ideas that government can solve all our problems, and you just look at this black community and go, what are you hanging on to? What are you doing? I think Donald Trump said it great during the campaign. What have you got to lose? And he's exactly right. The Democratic Party's done nothing for the black community. And so it is frustrating to watch them make that same choice over and over again. So I certainly hope that some of them are freeing themselves. Kanye West certainly kind of leading that charge. But it's funny to me that I get so many Trump supporters telling me, have you seen? Black support is polling at 34% for Donald Trump now. And I'm willing to accept that. I guess that's true. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of evidence that Donald Trump's got a lot of support within the black communities, much more than a traditional Republican. The problem is, I didn't think we believed polls anymore. But of course, we only believe the polls that show everything that we want it to show, right? If Trump approval rating shows 54%, then we think this is finally, it goes to the top of every single conservative website out there. Trump support is 54%. If Trump's support comes in at 42%, it says, you know, another bad poll. The same people who predicted Hillary Clinton would be president are saying Trump's only at 42%. It's just psychologically, it's interesting. We only accept the polls that fit with what we already believe. But the thing about the Democrats that if this ends up being, if something happens, if the economy goes south and one of these nut jobs, I don't think it's going to be Warren. I don't think it's going to be Sanders. I don't think it's going to be Biden. I don't know who it's going to be honest with you. We're about to get into Witch Watch. Is it, could it possibly be Hillary? Boy, the rematch. I got to tell you, the rematch. I don't know a showman like Donald Trump and an egomaniac like Hillary Clinton are going to be able to resist the rematch, be the greatest political fight of all times in the United States. I think it's just too, it's too juicy to leave that off the table. But if one of these left-wing nut jobs were to actually get through office, if the economy goes south, Donald Trump's weakened by that, and one of these Democrats get in there. Somebody made the point the other day that even I forget sometimes when I look at this. These left-wing politicians, your Bernie Sanders, your Elizabeth Warrens, Joe Biden's, any of these people, but particularly the ones that are even further left, we need to always remember they are lying to their supporters Because we've heard this Elizabeth Warren's $54 trillion healthcare plan, right? Medicare for all, student loan forgiveness, all these other things. But there's no difference between that and a Republican that has campaigned for the last 10 years on repealing Obamacare. These left-wing politicians are saying what they need to say to get elected. So it should just make us feel a little bit better, just that on the off chance that the economy goes south and that Donald Trump is actually defeated in 2020, that they're lying. They're not going to get these things done. They will give their people the same excuses that Republicans or other Democrats have always given why they can't fulfill their campaign promises, right? So it should just make us feel a little bit better to know. I mean, it drives me crazy, too, to think the idea of an Elizabeth Warren presidency and Medicare for all and all the ridiculous things that she talks about, it is a bit terrifying. And yes, we're taking this kind of lurch towards socialism, although I think it's a little bit overblown. For young people, maybe it's taken a little bit more seriously, but the bottom line is Elizabeth Warren doesn't think she can get these things done. She's doing what politicians do, which is tell people they're going to give them stuff. It's the same reason that politicians campaign on getting us out of wars and then they expand them. It's the same reason that politicians campaign on knocking down the debt and getting spending under control, and then the budgets explode and deficits explode under them. They're lying. We just need to remember that these people on the left that sound like they're going to be giving away the candy store, and yes, they would be terrible if they increased the government even one smidge. We're already 70% higher than we should be in the government, and that's being conservative. I'd say 90%. We need about 10% of the federal government we have right now, but I'd meet you at 30 if you want. I'd be willing to go up to 30% the size of the federal government if I had to, but I'd say 10% would be more in line with the Constitution. But anyway, we just need to remember that these left-wing politicians, they're lying. They're pandering. And to anybody out there that's a left-wing voter, they're lying to you. Now, I'm the only person on radio that will tell you, well, the Republicans are going to lie to their people too. I mean, everybody lies. These politicians just lie. They say what they need to do to get voted in. And we need to remember that. There's not going to be a $54 trillion Medicare for all plan, particularly if the Senate and the House, and even if they got control of everything, I don't know that they could get that done. I think the backlash against that would be so tremendous. But the bottom line is these left-wing politicians are just lying. We just need to remember that. It's a little comforting to me to know that on the off chance one of them actually takes the throne, as disgusting and spine-tingling as that is for me to even consider, the fact of the matter is they're just saying things to get elected, and giveaways are one of the best things to give out to people. Republicans do it too. Republicans are promising a tax cut 2.0 if they get reelected, which is really pathetic. They're bribing you with your own money. They're telling you, hey, if you vote for us one more time, we're going to let you keep a little bit more of what you earn, which is just so abhorrent to me. I'm for tax cuts, don't get me wrong. I'm for zero individual income taxes on the federal level. Zero. Because I don't think it's constitutional. I don't think the government needs it. They collect $2.7 trillion outside of, I think it's 2.7, maybe $2.3 trillion outside of individual income taxes. I think they should be able to make it on that. But it is just really pathetic to me that the Republican Party, that's supposed to be this constitutional limited government party, says, we're gonna let you keep 2% more of what you earn. Vote for us. We'll get you, for some of you, we may let you keep 5% more of what you earn. Is that a party of freedom and limited government to you? It's not to me. It used to be. I have to say, it used to be. They kind of tricked me into, they kind of got me into that idea that Republicans are good because they want 31% instead of 35%. The bottom line is they should be heading to zero. But, Republican Party is just another one of the establishment. There's not a whole lot of difference between these two parties when it comes down to the results. I know that's hard for people to hear. But it's true. But I'm going to get into Witch Watch in just a second here, talking about which one of these leftists is going to take it, because I'm telling you, Hillary Clinton's still circling. But I wanted to say, did you see this story about Hunter Biden before I leave the Bidens? The woman suing Hunter Biden for paternity was a stripper at a Washington, D.C. club he frequented around the time he was dating his brother's widow, sources told the Post. Biden was repeatedly seen at the Empire Club in the Capitol's historic DuPont Circle neighborhood, where London Alexis Roberts, the mother of his alleged love child, worked under the stage name Dallas, the sources said. Now, I'm gonna come at this from a slightly different take, like always. I think Hunter Biden should be an inspiration to all of us out there. Now, I think Hunter Biden's story shows you that with just enough persistence, you can succeed. I mean, the guy was kicked out of the military, hooked on drugs, caught smoking crack, hooked up with his dead brother's wife, and knocked up a stripper. And yet he was still able to wind up with a $50,000 a month gig on the board of directors of a gas firm, a Ukrainian gas firm, and with billions of dollars of Chinese money in an investment fund he wanted to get into. I mean, he's this true story of, you know, it doesn't matter how far you're knocked down. You can always persevere. I mean, it does help if you're part of a corrupt crime syndicate family. But the bottom line is, it doesn't matter. Hunter Biden has made every possible mistake and continues to make them, up to and including today, yet somehow he has been financially successful. He should be an inspiration to us all.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I was watching last night, 60 Minutes. They did a story about YouTube. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. I don't have clips from it or anything. But, you know, YouTube is in the process of censoring people. The incredibly arrogant Leslie Stahl with 60 Minutes was there. Can you safeguard people? I mean, you should have seen. You might want to see this thing, because every time they were talking about misleading information on YouTube, conspiracy theories, any of that stuff, they were always showing right-wing videos. I mean, across the board, they made everything that had Trump associated with it, or, you know, anything conservative was a conspiracy theory that needed to be tamped down on YouTube. It was a disgusting piece. And it wasn't done. Leslie Stahl didn't say the words out loud. It was just all the background images. Every time they talked about a problematic video, you could tell it was something that was right wing, as she was questioning the head of YouTube about what they were going to do about, you know, lies on YouTube and propaganda. And, you know, to those of us who are awake, we just think Leslie Stahl works for CBS. CBS has been infiltrated with the CIA. Literally, that's not a conspiracy theory. Don't try to censor me. You can look it up, Operation Mockingbird and all these other things and congressional hearings into. And CBS is supposed to be one of the worst when it comes to spooks being involved. I mean, CBS is just a propaganda arm of the government, as are all the major news outlets. Look, YouTube's full of a bunch of garbage and some lies and some half-baked theories about things, for sure. Americans need to use their discernment to figure out what's true and what's not. There's no escaping that fact. If you think the loving arms of some government agency or the loving heads at YouTube are the ones that are going to protect you from bad information, you got another thing coming. You cannot give over that kind of power to any group of people. They always have agendas and motives. We have to, as thinking people, as hard as that is for some people, as thinking people, we have to parse through what is real and what is not. And we're seeing with the Russia hoax or any of these other things, so many people fall for just really ridiculous stuff. That is the nature of people. But the bottom line is there's just nobody qualified to do it. Nobody that's honest enough to be the arbiter of truth. Not Snopes, not the people at YouTube. The reason I even brought it up, actually, before I went on that, is that I didn't know that the girl that leads up YouTube, I don't know what, she's got to be making millions of dollars a year. She got connected to YouTube and to Google, who now owns YouTube. She really got connected to Google. She put out an ad to rent out her garage. She was a single mom, apparently, having trouble making ends meet. And so she decided she would lease out her garage. And I guess she was somewhere near Silicon Valley. The two people who show up to rent her garage are the two guys starting Google. She ends up being the 16th employee that Google ever hires. There's no telling what she's got in stock options. And then she encouraged them to buy YouTube, and now she heads up YouTube. It's these twists of life that are fascinating to me. If this woman just did not decide to rent out her garage, everything's different for her. You know what I mean? How many times do people stumble into this kind of luck? These kinds of things happen fairly regularly. Really successful people, a lot of times, had one really big swing of luck. I mean, a lot of them. And a lot of them will admit that. We look at them as masters of the universe and these people that are so well accomplished, but they just, you know, it is amazing to me sometimes that I don't know I've experienced that. I've been lucky in my life. I've lived a great life, but no real, you know, nothing life-changing like that. Listen to this story. This is one I just saw during the break. This couple, in 1989, a couple from Long Island, New York, paid roughly $100 for an unclaimed storage unit. It was a blind auction, meaning neither they nor the seller had any idea what was inside. When the couple opened the unit, they were in for what would likely be the surprise of their lives. Buried under some old blankets sat a 1976 Lotus Esprit sports car used in the filming of the 1977 James Bond film, The Spy Who Loved Me. In the movie, a sports car famously transforms into a submarine and fires missiles while underwater. Years later, none other than Elon Musk bought their find for nearly $1 million. They got a James Bond supercar for $100 in the storage unit. At first, they didn't really know what it was. This is the co-founder of the Ian Fleming Foundation, Doug Rettius, which authenticated the car. They had no idea how valuable their discovery was. The husband had planned on fixing the sports car's dented roof and making other improvements, but after they loaded the car onto a truck and set off for home, truckers contacted them via CB radio to let them know they were hauling a James Bond car. The husband later, quote, went out and rented the movie on VHS and saw what he had. I mean, they didn't even really understand what they had. And now for decades, they've been showing this thing at different places, did some cosmetic stuff to it, and then was showing it in things. And before it was auctioned in 2013 by Sotheby's, Lotus sold at auction at Sotheby's in 2013 to a secret buyer. It was later revealed that the new owner was Elon Musk, and he reportedly paid $997,000 for the car. It is amazing. I guess this is—it's always out there for us. I always think about this when I've done garage sales or gotten rid of old family stuff, and I think, you know, is this worth anything? I don't know how many old coins and stamps and things like that I've always held on to. I've got a box of old 45 records. I'm scared to death to throw them away because I'm thinking, what am I throwing away? Something gold here. I don't ever take the time to research them, find out if they're worth anything. And if they were worth anything, trying to find a way to actually put them out there and get them sold is beyond me. But I always feel like there's that one thing out there somewhere, somehow we stumble across that ends up being some real treasure find. Between renting your garage to the guys who started Google and these people finding a James Bond car for $100 in a sight unseen storage unit auction. These things actually happen to people. Where's the luck for the rest of us? All right, I'm going to finish up when we come back. Witch Watch and this weird thing from Fox News where they seem to be, I don't know. Fox News is just not what it's billed. I'll show you what I'm talking about in just a second.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Final segment for today. I talk a lot about Tulsi Gabbard on the show. She is a Democrat. She is progressive in some areas. She's got some troubling gun ideas. She's got some ideas about, you know, she's looked at universal basic income, some other progressive ideas I do not like. What I'd really like to see, and what would be a genius move, Donald Trump fires Mike Pompeo, one of the worst diplomats the country's ever seen. If you haven't noticed, diplomacy is not exactly our strong suit these days, and Mike Pompeo is a warmonger. kick out Mike Pompeo, make Tulsi Gabbard Secretary of State. Helps to seal a 2020 victory for Donald Trump and might actually bring some peace to the world. Tulsi Gabbard's foreign policy is leaps and bounds above people in both parties, her other progressive stuff notwithstanding. But for those of you who may just not even be able to tolerate the idea of saying a kind word about anybody that's got a D behind their names, listen to this. Now, you know, Hillary Clinton has actually called Tulsi Gabbard a Russian asset. And she did this fairly unsolicitedly. Now, Tulsi Gabbard has met with Assad. She hates the regime change wars. And so Hillary Clinton actually went out of her way to say, looks like the Russians are grooming one of the Democratic candidates as a, you know, a stealth candidate, stealth Russian asset. And she was pointing this at Tulsi Gabbard. So while you may not love Tulsi, you may think it's hard to say anything about anybody on the left with a D behind their name, listen to what Tulsi fired back at Clinton. This is in a tweet. She said, thank you, Hillary Clinton. You are the queen of warmongers, embodiment of corruption, and personification of the rot that has sickened the Democratic Party for so long. There you go. Now, isn't that nice to see somebody on the Democratic side that can actually say these things to Hillary Clinton? That shows you a little something about her right there, that she's not playing this game. Now, as far as Hillary Clinton goes, I'll do my segment here, Witch Watch. This was on Tucker Carlson's show, a guy saying, because I've been wondering, I really would have thought if Hillary was going to announce, it would have had to have been near November to qualify for some of the early states. But does Hillary Clinton even need that stuff? Maybe not.
Well, I think the odds are actually higher now than when we spoke before that she'll get in. Let's understand, the recent polling shows that there's a four-way split at the top of the race, and we may very well have four separate winners for each of the early primary states. If Mayor Pete wins Iowa, Bernie wins New Hampshire, Joe Biden wins South Carolina, and then Warren wins Nevada, then that means going into Super Tuesday, you have no clear frontrunner. Once Hillary Clinton has 100% name recognition, she has a formidable fundraising base, she has a clear reason to run, a rematch of 2016 where she won by over 3 million votes and now has a ground game to actually win the Rust Belt. If Joe Biden isn't able to lock down this nomination within the next 2 months, then there's really no reason for her not to jump in prior to Super Tuesday. Yeah. So you have a ground game which is in place from the HRC 08 campaign. You have consultants who have been recently leaving other top campaigns, and as more candidates drop out, more of that top talent becomes available. Just this week, you had Joe Biden's top Latina advisor leave his campaign. So those people are in place. She has the ground game. She has clearly the fundraising apparatus. So for someone like Deval Patrick, is it reasonable or realistic for him to win? No. But for someone like Hillary Clinton, who already has the apparatus in place, it's almost turnkey. It's almost a turnkey operation. You come in, you turn the key, you flip the lights on, you have a 50-state campaign already in place. Right now, the party is completely splintered. You have about 30% in the Bernie/Warren wing of the party. You have 70% who are staunchly against seeing that wing of the party win. Even we've saw the reports this week of President Obama saying that he will step in to make sure that Bernie Sanders does not get the nomination. And because you have this splintering between Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, some of the other minor candidates, there is this idea that you just need a uniting figure to come in and bring the disparate aspects together.
Oh, and if we know anything about Hillary Clinton, she is a uniting figure, isn't she? She really brings people together in the spirit of love and cooperation. And I mean, I think it's very hard to argue with anything that guy said. This would be fascinating. And you know, I got to tell you, to you people on the left, there's a lot of talk from Trump supporters. They say they love to see, you know, liberal heads explode and liberal tears and all these kinds of things. Look, I disagree with liberals on things, but a lot of them are savable. You know, if you calmly and rationally explain to them the flaws in their policies and point to the fact that, you know, Barack Obama didn't do anything for the black community. It's one thing to just call Barack Obama names, call him a communist, call him a Kenyan, whatever you want to call him. It's easier. And I think this may be easier for me because I'm not trying to convince anybody on the left to become a Republican. I'm just trying to convince them to become a free-thinking human being and to realize they're getting screwed by their party. I kind of do the same thing with the Republican Party, even though I've voted majority Republican most of my life. Kind of doing the same thing to show you, you know, these Republicans, they don't exactly deliver on what they're telling you, do they? I just want people to free their minds. We'll sort the rest of the stuff out. But the first thing is admitting that you've got a problem with your own party. Nothing is going to change until people admit that they've got a problem. I would love to see leftist people on the left, the people who have embraced people like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. It would be interesting for me to see what they would think when Hillary Clinton swoops in like a cackling hawk and snatches this thing after everybody's done their work and gone and raised money from all the little people out there who want a Cory Booker or Kamala Harris or whoever it is. That this woman, just after everybody else does the heavy lifting and the debates and everything, just swoops in and takes this nomination. Now that might wake up some people on the left to exactly how corrupt their party is. Now that was on Tucker Carlson. That was just kind of a fact-based thing. The guy sounds like he was a Democrat. I don't know who that guy is. And Tucker was just interviewing him for the possibility of a Hillary Clinton run. But he wasn't really taking a stand on it. I think he was just kind of saying what makes sense. She's ready to run whenever she decides to run. Now, this was a little more interesting. I don't know which show this was on. Let me see if it's... And I'm not sure exactly what show this was on, but it was Fox News, and somebody here makes a comment about Hillary that's funny. I mean, it's funny and accurate. And again, this is this Fox News that everybody believes is the arbiter of all truth and that they're this conservative network and they're really, you know, they're the good guys in media. Listen to this.
Of course she should be investigated. There's plenty of evidence that Hillary obstructed justice by destroying evidence in a gross and massive way. Joining us now, Anna Paulina, Director of Hispanic Engagement at Turning Point USA, and Doug Schoen, Fox News contributor and former pollster for President Bill Clinton. Good morning to you both.
Good morning,
and happy Thanksgiving.
I think it's only fair. I'm all for starting a Clinton investigation.
I'm just amazed that with everything going on in the world, we still have Hillary Clinton in the headlines.
Well, she's come back up.
She won't go away. She's like herpes.
Oh, okay. That's news that we're breaking here. We're gonna wrap this segment a little early, Doug, because of some of the language that was used in this segment, and we apologize to our viewers for that.
What? You're worried about it. Offending Hillary Clinton because one of your guests called her, said she was like herpes? I mean, I think that's a fantastic analogy of Hillary Clinton. Just won't go away. Just keeps popping up. You think you finally have beaten it, and then all of a sudden, boom, big honking cold sore on your mouth again. Now, this wasn't all of it. Again, they cut that segment. I mean, the guy just said, we're going to cut this. We're a little worried about some of the language in this thing. Calling Hillary Clinton being like her, and this was not a Fox News presenter. Look, I can understand if they want to try to pretend they're some legitimate news organization. You don't need your hosts calling, be it Hillary or Trump or Obama or anybody, names. You know, you're supposed to be a news organization, but this was just a guest. And this guest was with Turning Point USA, which is a very conservative organization. Fox News wasn't done. Listen to this. They come back and apologize again.
We want to reiterate that we do not condone the language that Anna Paulina just displayed here, and we apologize to Secretary Clinton for that. Fox News does not condone her sentiments.
What? What was the big deal with that? I would say calling Hillary Clinton herpes is one of the nicer things that most people think about Hillary Clinton from at least half the country. Hillary Clinton is a corrupt thug, a true criminal, I would say, in just the truest sense, as corrupt as they come. And this girl makes just a joke about her being herpes, and Fox News ends the segment because it triggers them that they said something disrespectful. And then they call her Secretary Clinton, one of my other pet peeves. All these people that we have put up on these pedestals and created this permanent political class where whatever their highest office is, we call them that for the rest of their lives. As I said, I'd like to be called Social Chairman Mike Madison for the rest of my life. I really enjoyed being Social Chairman of my fraternity. I think that should follow me around. I have been the president and CEO of my own company, too. I don't know. People should be calling me President Mike Madison or CEO Mike Madison. Do you get to keep your title for the rest of your life? Secretary Clinton should be inmate number blank, 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 Hillary Clinton, but we know that that's not ever going to happen. I just found it very interesting that Fox News felt the need to actually circle back around. And, you know, I don't know. I guess if you see enough people exit this mortal coil, when they cross the Clintons, maybe you want to double down on some apologies just in case. Maybe that host was planning on taking a trip on a small airplane or had a plan to go relax in a hot tub later today and wanted to make sure that the Clintons knew that they weren't saying anything bad about them because they might not live to see Christmas this year. Anyway, I'm telling you, Fox News is a Judas goat. They keep you in the establishment system. I watched them crush Ron Paul, who was an outsider, even much more outside than Donald Trump was, even as an established Republican with a voting record for small, limited government. I saw what Fox News did to him, and it woke me up, no doubt. That's all the time I got today. Stay tuned for Doc Livingston. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard.